Man, thank you, Craig. And that is a good song. And that is the truth. I'll tell you, there is a lot of truth in that. And I've been with people many times, been at the bedside of someone as they're about to die. And I've seen several people take their last breath. And in those experiences, I have never had anyone say to me, "I wish I never would have gotten saved." Never heard those words when somebody's about to die. I've heard people say, "I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have spent more time with my family or spent more time with the Lord and different things." But I've never heard anyone say, "You know, I just regret that I ever got saved." Well, I'll tell you, the closer you get to heaven, the gladder. I don't know. Usually on Sunday morning, I wouldn't say that. But anyway, I like it. The gladder I get. Amen. That I made that decision at the age of 17. Well, Psalm 19, we're talking about the Bible, the Word of God this morning. The Bible, the Word of God. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. Thank you for all the good music. Thank you for everyone who's here. Help us to realize that we're not here by accident, but we are here by providence. You brought us here, and I pray you'll give us what we need today from thy Word in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible, the Word of God. In January, many of you started reading through your Bible. For some of you, it'll be the first time you've ever read through your whole Bible. And that was exciting. I remember when we started out, my wife, she puts the monthly Bible reading papers on the Welcome Center desk. And a lot of people are, of course, some people are just taking them, I think. And I don't know what you're doing with them. But I think the shepherds take some. But a lot of folks are reading their Bible. And praise the Lord for that. And you ought to be doing that. It's the Word of God. Amen. But how many of you are on schedule as far as your Bible reading? How many are on schedule? Wow, that is wonderful. A lot of folks. And how many of you will read through your Bible this year? You know you're going to do it. You know you're going to do it. Praise the Lord. All right, some of you raise your hand that you're going to do it, but you're not on schedule. So we'll pray for you. You'll catch up. Just do it. Amen. I know how that is. You get behind a little bit and just read your Bible and read through your Bible. We have several people here that read through their Bible a couple of times during the year. We have some that read through their Bible once a month. And you can do it. But anyway, that is a blessing. And because the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It's God's Word. I mean, God gave it to us. God breathed every word so that we could understand how to live, so that we could have blessings, so that we could have a wonderful life, so that we could have rewards, so we could have success. The Bible is the Word of God. And you'll notice here as we start out, I'm just going to give you a little outline about this passage, verses 7 through 11. And it starts out, number one, the Bible, the Word of God, it's perfect. It is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. By the way, in these passages and throughout the book of Psalms and really much of the Bible is referred to, the Word of God is referred to as different things, different names. Here in verse 7, it's called the law. In verse 7, it's also a little later on called testimony. In verse 8, it's called the statutes. In verse 8, a little later on, it's called the commandment of the Lord. In verse 9, it says the judgments of the Lord. And so all of these describe the Word of God. And every one of these is a description of God's Word. And he says here in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. That means there are no errors. That means there are no mistakes. It is perfect in science. It is perfect in history. It is perfect in all spiritual things. It is perfect. We're not used to that. We're not used to anything being perfect. We're not used to things that we know we can count on. The Word of God is perfect. Every now and then you'll run into somebody and they'll say, "Well, you know, there are contradictions in the Scriptures." And I you know, if you go soul winning very much, you get out here and you talk to people about the Lord, there's always going to be somebody come along, "Well, you know, I believe the Bible, but it has a lot of contradictions." Do you understand there aren't any contradictions in the Scripture? Amen. Now, they will point to some things, and I just picked out a couple of favorite things people like to point out. Numbers 25, verse 9. Keep your place in Psalm 19, but look at Numbers 25 and verse 9. And here the Bible is talking about a plague. Numbers 25 and verse 9. And it says, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. All right? Does everybody understand that? It's 24,000 died in the plague. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 8. And oh, I've had people say, well, right here is a contradiction. It says in this verse this thing, and then it says in another verse something else. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8. By the way, you ought to be ready. You ought to know why there aren't any contradictions. I mean, it all starts out with, we know it's there aren't any because the Word of God's perfect. Amen? But you ought to, that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there are people out there that do not understand the truth and that want to argue the truth, and you ought to know, you ought to be able to give an answer for that. 1 Corinthians 10:8. Now, what did it say in Numbers 25:9? It said 24,000 died in the plague. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 8, and it is talking about this same plague. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Oh, and you know, those that don't believe the Bible, they will look at you like, now, what are you going to do about that? It said in Numbers that 24,000 died, and here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8, it says 23,000 died. What are we going to do? Well, I guess it's all over. We'll have to close the church. We'll have to quit church. Oh, it's just a matter of reading it. It says in Numbers 25, it says 24,000 died in the plague. In 1 Corinthians 10:8, 23,000 died in one day. Plague lasted more than one day. Hello? It's not that hard. Some of you are saying, well, I feel better now. It's perfect, folks. And if you find, you know, you find some, you say, well, I just don't understand it. Well, it's all right. You know, it's okay that maybe we don't understand it, because God is God. Amen. God is bigger than we are. Amen. I don't want to understand everything about God because I need to go to Him for help. I want Him to always be bigger than me. I don't want to try to put Him inside a little box. But then there's another contradiction. And some of you like this kind of stuff. 2 Samuel 24. Keep your place now in Psalm 19. We're going to go back to it. 2 Samuel 24. And there are so many things like this where you have to study. Amen. And I think God does that on purpose, because we're supposed to study. 2 Samuel 24. I feel bad about the Christian who never opens their Bible except when they come to church. Don't even touch their Bible all week long except when they come to church. How sad. 2 Samuel 24, 24. Here it says, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. 50 shekels for the threshing floor. Now look at 1 Chronicles 21, 25. And I've had people point this out. Oh, you know, this proves that the Bible's not true because there's a contradiction. 1 Chronicles 21, 25. I'm trying to keep all my places here. It's hard to turn pages and keep your places. Amen. I'll get there. 1 Chronicles. Plus, it's a new Bible and my pages stick. All right. 1 Chronicles 21, 25. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. Uh-oh. Now what are we going to do? You say, well, it's obvious. I mean, it said in 2 Samuel 24, 24, 50 shekels of silver for the threshing floor. 1 Chronicles 21, 25, 600 shekels of gold for the place. Well, there's two transactions taking place there. One's the threshing floor and the other's for the whole farm. It's not that hard, really. You know, but you have to start with this. And that's why when people get in my face, you know, and say, well, there's a contradiction. See, immediately I know that's not true. How do you know, preacher? Because it's perfect. Because God's Word's perfect. If you start with God's Word's perfect, I promise you this. You know, if you start with, well, I'm not so sure about that, and I've got a lot of doubt about that, you might have some trouble, especially if you're not willing to study. Amen. But if you just start out, hey, listen, I know that it's perfect. There are no errors in the Scripture. There aren't any problems. There aren't any contradictions in it. It is absolutely perfect. If you start there, I don't care who the unbeliever is that tries to mess you up, you know that it's perfect.
Amen.
You know that. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe I don't understand it. But I know that it's perfect. And you know something that's perfect, I sure ought to read. Amen.
Amen.
Something that is perfect, you ought to read. Amen. It's perfect in salvation. Notice what he says. The law of the Lord is perfect. Notice what it says. Converting the soul. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, God's Word is perfect. I can be saved by reading the Word of God. I can hear how to be saved. I can understand how that my soul can be converted. And the Bible must be perfect to show us that we're not. Hello? It must be perfect to show me that I'm not perfect. It must be perfect to show you that you're not perfect. And it is that perfect book that as I read it, I feel very much like I've sinned. As you read it, you recognize. And by the way, that's why a lot of people don't like it, because they don't want to know that. A lot of people don't want to think of themselves as sinners. They don't want to think of themselves as on their way to hell. They don't want to think of themselves that way. They want to think, hey, I'm a pretty good person. God's Word shows us we're not. It is perfect. We're not. But we can be saved. Amen. Because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And it is the Word of God that points me to Jesus Christ. Shows me that I need a Savior. And it shows me that He is the Savior. He is the blessed Son of God who came to die on a cross to pay for the sins of those who would trust in Him. It is perfect in the area of salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Converts the soul. Praise God. And we can become new creatures in Jesus Christ. By the way, it's perfect not only in salvation, but also it says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's sure. It's not wishy-washy. In other words, it never changes. It's perfect the way it is. It doesn't change. And one of the exciting things about that, you think about the simple here, and it says making wise the simple. The simple, you know, simple people, and by the way, we're all that. Amen. We may think we're real sharp, but when it comes to the things of God, we've got a lot to learn. And God says here, making wise the simple. But simple people, you know, honestly, we don't need a whole lot of confusing stuff. God's Word doesn't change. It's not confusing when you recognize that it never changes. You know, most things change. I mean, you look at politics right now, and everybody is. You know, I heard people talking about politics a while ago, and it's always happening. You know, you go in any little nook and cranny, and you'll hear a couple of guys, well, bless God, I think this. And you know, we've all got our thoughts on that. But isn't it amazing how these politicians, they'll get in front of one group and say one thing, and they'll get in front of another group and say a different thing. You know, they change. It's all based upon who they happen to be talking to. You know, God's Word's not like that. That's why people don't like it. Because God doesn't pull any punches. God doesn't say what you want to hear. God just says the truth. And it does not change. And being a simple person, I like that. I can count on it. Do you understand? When I got saved at the age of 17, it said something to me. You know what? It's still saying the same thing. I wasn't very smart back then, and I'm still not very smart. But thank God I can rely on this book, because it just keeps saying the same thing that it always said. I'll read through, and I've read through my Bible who knows how many times now. And you know what? It just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over and over. And it's always the same, and I can count on that. You ever get backslidden? And you just kind of get away from God for a while, and thank God you go back, and you know what? It's all still there just like it was, because it doesn't change. And we need that, amen? We need to be able to dwell on the truth. You know, I think about evolution. And evolution, the whole theory of evolution. By the way, it is just a theory. It is just a theory. In fact, Darwin, throughout his theory, said, I suppose, I wonder if, amen? You know, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. It's not an I suppose. It's not a, well, you know, as long as everything works out. And evolution has had to change over and over and over again. Because just like the idea that the world was flat had to change. Now, there are some folks who still believe the world's flat. But I got news for you. It's not. Okay? I'm just saying, you know, the Word of God is perfect. It is perfect. And it never changes. What a blessing that is. Second thing, back to Psalm 19. It is not only perfect, but it's pure. In verse 8, it says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." I like that. The statutes of the Lord are right. And then it says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure." It is pure. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "As silver tried 7 times in the fire." It's that pure. I'm talking about it is pure. I like the terms here. First of all, it talks about the statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. And you know, you think about that, but you go to the doctor because you want to get the right medicine. It always amazes me how we trust doctors. I'm serious about that. You know, we trust doctors. Doctor says, you know, he talks to you about all this stuff. Usually he can't understand half of what he's talking about. Well, you know, you had a blood test and your numbers. And my doctor always has to show the greater than and less than sign. I understand that. You know, he doesn't get too deep. He just says, okay, it's supposed to be greater than this. Yours is here. It's supposed to be less than this. I say, my what? He says, it doesn't matter. It's good. I say, okay. And we just trust the doctor, you know. He says, now because this is here, we're going to give you this. And I say, all right. And it's got a name that I can't even pronounce. He says, because this is not this, we're going to give you this so that that will become what it's supposed to be. I say, all right, sure, doc. I mean, he could be giving me poison. He could be giving me stuff to make my hair fall out. I never thought of that until just now. That's what happened. I'm just, you know, we trust that you can't even read what they're giving you. By the way, they're not giving it to you. Sometimes they do. They'll give you samples. You ever look at them? Nope. Right? Hey, you know, when you're in the hospital and the nurse comes in and you know, nurses, sometimes they're not, you know what I'm talking about. I'm headed for trouble here. But I mean, do you ever ask, hey, what's in that bag that's going into my arm? You ever ask them? No, we just trust them. Don't you like it, though, when we get the right medicine? Huh? I mean, isn't that good that it's right? Don't you like it when you go to a lawyer and you get the right counsel? You ought to like it for $200 an hour. Amen. I mean, don't you like it when it's the right thing? See, that's the thing about God's Word being pure. It's the right thing. It's the right medicine. It's the right counsel. It's the right thing to change your life. It's the right thing to bring joy into your life. It is absolutely, because it is pure, there's nothing bad in it. It's right. Amen. And that's why it says here that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I mean, it's pure, and that rejoices my heart because deep down, I want things to be right. Deep down, you want things to be right. I mean, sometimes that interferes with us. Sometimes, you know, we get a little offended, but deep down, inside, we're glad that there is a thou shalt not kill. Deep down, we are really glad that there is a thou shalt not steal. I mean, deep down, you say, well, preacher, yeah, I'm against those kind of things. Listen to me. You would, deep down, you're against all kinds of unright things. Deep down, we don't like wrong things, even though we do wrong things. And that's why, because the Word of God's pure, it is all right. It is all right. And the truth of the matter is, I like to know what's right. I want to know if I'm doing right or if I'm not doing right. I want to know if I'm going the right way or if I'm not going the right way. And the purity of the Scriptures. The Bible says here, it goes on, it says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." I like that. enlightening the eyes. Several things about that I think about. You know, our eyes like purity. Our eyes like purity more than they like corruption. Now, you wouldn't know that by some of the teenagers' rooms. But I'm just saying seriously, we like a clean house over a dirty house. We like a clean car over a dirty car. Now, you can't always tell that, but I'm just saying, we gravitate more toward clean and pure than we do toward dirty and nasty. I mean, we are going to do that. The Word of God is that. I mean, my eyes are more comfortable. Of course, my eyes are more comfortable with a super giant print Bible. Amen. Some of your Bibles, it'd be tough. But I'm just saying, you know, my eyes are more comfortable. My spirit as a Christian, I am more comfortable in this book. It's pure to me. Enlightenment. What else does that mean? You know, not only do our eyes want to gaze upon it and it enlightens us, but the other thing is, the Word of God enlightens it. It cleans everything up. You know, I was thinking about this. I had cataract surgery. What a blessing. Amen. I mean, that was so good. And they put that lens in my eye. I still don't understand all that. I let them do that. Can you believe that? That's unbelievable. You let them, you know, you're laying there and they're cutting your eye open with a laser. You know, and then they're putting plastic in there and everything. I just sat there and watched. I had no choice to watch. It was, never mind. But I mean, they're putting this lens in there. And so this right eye is already kind of bad anyway. But last year sometime, I mean, it got where I couldn't see anything. And I thought, oh, well, it's over. I'm losing the right eye. And the glaucoma has taken over. And I mean, I couldn't see anything. Finally, and so the doctor said, there's some corruption on that lens. He had another name, but I just call it corruption. I don't know. He had some fancy name. Crud is what I would call it. But anyway, he says, and you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I said, well, I haven't really been anywhere. And he kind of laughed, you know, it's not anything you do. It happens. And of course, that makes me wonder about all that. But anyway, he said, I could laser that off. And I'm trying to think about that. How could he do that? So he hooks me up to this thing and turns this thing on. And I'm used to laser things in my eyes and everything. It's not, you know, you get used to all that kind of stuff when you have contacts and glaucoma and everything. And so he had this little thing and he goes, tick. It was the strangest thing. I felt it back here. Which means my head's hollow, amen? But, I mean, you know, seriously, it went tick. And he said, huh, you feel that in the back of your head, don't you? I said, yeah, that's you know, it's weird. And then tick, 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 tick. And I could feel it in the back of my head. But as he's doing that, all of a sudden things are getting bright. And I mean, when he was done, it was like somebody wiped off the lens somehow, which he did with a laser. And all of a sudden I could see. Not as good as out of my left eye, but it was just amazing the difference. Now, you know, that's what God's Word does. You know, our eyes, the world is nasty. You know, it really is. There's a lot of nasty out there. And sometimes our eyes get a little fogged up from the worldly stuff that's around us. God's Word will clean that off. God's Word cleans that off. I mean, because God's Word is pure. And the purity of the Bible is so much why unsaved people not only don't like it, but they don't understand it. It's pure. And so you talk to people about the Word of God and they look at you like, huh? You know why? Because they need their eyes enlightened. And we need our eyes enlightened because we need direction to know which way to go. You know, we don't have any idea without the enlightenment of a pure Word of God that tells us which way to go. It is perfect. It is pure. Number three, it is preserved. Notice verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Enduring. It's preserved. God preserves His Word. God's not going to leave us without His Word. Amen? It's so clear how God has preserved His Word. Look at Psalm 12. Keep your place here in Psalm 19. Psalm 12, verse 7. Psalm Psalms 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Thou shalt keep them." Talking about verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Notice what he says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God preserves His Word so that we have His Word. God has preserved His Word. We believe, and I believe, that it's in the King James Bible. God preserved that for me. God preserved, because I speak English. God has preserved His Word for Spanish-speaking people. God has preserved His Word. We will not be without the Word of God. God has guaranteed the preservation of His almighty Word so that you and I could read it and know it, and so people can hear how to be saved. God's given us His Word, and He's preserved His Word. Thank God for that. That's an awesome thing. And that brings me to number four. It is not only preserved, but it's permanent. It says here, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring," how long? Forever. It is permanent. There will never be a time when the Word of God is not. It is preserved. It is permanent. One old atheist, Voltaire, said he would destroy the Bible in 50 years. And 20 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought his property and started printing Bibles. Are you listening? Hey, listen. Listen. God preserves His Word, and it is a permanent Word. It is kept by God, according to Psalm 12, verse 7. Look at Matthew 24, 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. I'll show you how secure the Word of God is. And by the way, it always has been. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. And it always will be. Matthew 24 and verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And those that want to destroy the Word of God, listen to me, it is permanent. It will not be destroyed. That's why, one good reason to memorize the Word of God is because once it's in your heart, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody, it doesn't matter. You know, you hear stories of Christians going to prison and going to jail for their faith, and they'll tell the story of how the Word of God kept them going. Well, what do you mean the Word of God kept you going? You didn't have a Bible. Oh, I hid the Word of God in my heart. Nobody can touch it. And it is permanent. Heaven and earth. You say, heaven and earth, it'll pass away before the Word of God does. Isn't that good? And you know, that permanence, that gives me security. I like that. I like it. Boy, you know what? The Word of God, it gives me security. Somebody, you Baptists, you think you got it all figured out. And you Christians, you think you got it all figured out. And I don't have anything figured out, but I know the One who does. And He's written it all down for me. I know and you know what? I can read the beginning, and I can also read the end, and we win. We are more than conquerors. Amen? We are more. I can do all things through Christ. Permanence gives security. That old hurricane went through Texas just the other night, and Louisiana and all around there. And you know, all those people, they're looking for concrete buildings. Amen? I mean, those guys, and it's funny. My wife, she's kind of funny. She says, these announcers are all saying, "Go away! Get out! Evacuate!" And there they stand. You know, she always laughs about that. And I finally say, "Honey, you're not going to change it. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Let them blow away." One old boy almost did. But anyway, I think that's why we watch. We kind of want them to a little bit, you know. Let them blow a little way anyway. They're looking for, yes, find a concrete building and hunker down. They all use that word, hunker down, hunker down, hunker down. And they're looking for a concrete. Why? Because it's permanent, you know, they think. It's permanent till it falls down. I like the one old boy, a big old chunk of the permanence fell into the, about hit him in the head. And I wonder how permanent this is. You know what? This is permanent. Amen. I don't care what many have tried to destroy it. They still are. They're doing everything they can to get it out of our homes and get it out of our lives. And sad to say, we help because we don't read it. We help because, as I said a while ago, the first time you touched it was today to bring it so everybody'd see you carrying it. That is no reason to have it. Have it because it's the Word of God, and I need to read it, and I need to look at it, and I need to learn from it, and every day I need to be in it, and I need to memorize it, and I need to hide it in my heart And it's permanent. It's the only thing that is permanent. Amen? Man, this is good stuff. Number five, it's precious. It's precious. Well, preacher, how precious is it? I'm glad you asked. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. It's precious. Precious. February 5th, 1970, microfilm of the Bible was put on the moon by Commander Edgar Mitchell. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Could you say that today? Did you read the Bible in the morning and you think about it all day long? You should. You should. Amen. Y'all are looking at me kind of funny. I just added 5 minutes to the message. That's raining anyway. I don't know. It's precious. The Word of God's precious. It is more to be desired are they than gold. I got a little chunk of gold right there, very little. Because when we got married, we were very poor. And really still are. But anyway, we like our gold, don't we? Huh? Yeah. The Word of God is more to be desired than gold. Huh? It's desired above riches. You know, here's the thing. You can take it with you. If the rapture were to take place right now, the rapture, okay? Christians are gone. Boom, just like that. Then this would just fall off and drop. That's all. If you have a gold filling in your teeth, you'd go and it would stay. It'd just fall down. Huh? It's true. Your money, the rapture takes place, and it falls. The other day I was preaching at Grace Baptist College, and I was preaching away, and I was on a roll. And I kept feeling stuff hit my leg. And I thought, what in the world is hitting my leg? I couldn't understand it. I mean, I was preaching. And this stuff kept hitting my... Finally, I looked down, there's a quarter. And I thought, somebody's throwing money. They like the preaching. I really did. I thought somebody's throwing money. Because, you know, sometimes in camp meetings, and that college is like an all-the-time camp meeting. And so I thought somebody's throwing money. And so I really got wound. I started preaching harder. I thought, well, I might as well make a little money out of this. And I mean, it was there was this pile of money down at my feet. And at the end of the service, one of the guys behind me said, he said, it was so funny. He said, that money kept falling out of your pocket the whole service. I had a hole in my pocket. And anyway, but you know, that's how it's going to be in the rapture. That money's just going to, it's going to all drop and you're gone. You say, I'm taking my wallet. No, you're not. You're not taking the checkbook. You're not taking your credit cards. You're leaving the debt. Some of you say, oh, hallelujah, rapture now. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God, listen to me, you can take that with you, and it can't be taken from you. You know, thieves can break through and steal your money. IRS can get your money. But guess what? They can't get the Word of God from you. You hide it here in your heart. Desired above riches, sweeter than honey, it says. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, the Word of God removes depression. Read the Word of God. You say, oh, I'm just so depressed. And you know, I've been depressed. Read your Bible. Get in the Psalms. You know, get in the Psalms. Oh, I'm having such a tough time. You know, sweeter than honey. It'll fire you up. It really will. And it has all the answers to any problem you have. You know, some folks have Bibles and they have sections in them that you name the problem, there will be verses. And name a problem, there will be verses. Name a problem, there will be verses. Name a problem there. And boy, that's a good thing to have, because every problem, doesn't matter what the problem is, the answer is in the Scripture. And you know, it is so precious that way. That I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what my question. I can find it in the Word of God. That's why we should study it. That's why we should read. That's why we should listen to preaching. That's why, you know, if you thought about every message, and it's very interesting because Brother Tim has, Brother Rob has all the sermons. I don't know who's doing all that, but one of them has it on the internet where you can go to all the sermons. And it's interesting because I've looked back to January 1st and I've been able to kind of look at all the different sermons and every kind of topic. It's amazing all the different topics that have been covered and all the different topics that have been talked about and the scriptures that would help you if you just came to church. That's why I don't counsel anybody if they don't come to church, because that's where most of the counsel comes from. Amen. I'm serious about that. Somebody says, well, you know, I want to counsel. I need some counsel. I say, I'll see you one time, but then if you don't come to church, I'm not going to counsel you anymore. Because that's where you'll get most of your counseling, if you just come to church. I've given you enough today to help you get through life. Just pointing you to this book. I mean, this will help you more than any. Go to this before you go to a psychiatrist. Go to this before you see the shrink. Go to this before you go, you know, you need counsel about your children. Go to this. Get in the book. Amen. It's precious. Number six, it's preventive. Notice verse 11. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And that's why people don't like it either. You know, but that's preventive. I like that. I like, you know, all these people, you know, these announcers say, the hurricane is going to hit right here and you need to leave. All right. If you live on the coast, there's going to be storm surge come up through here and it's going to wipe out your house and you're going to be on your roof. One old boy says, well, I got an axe up in the attic. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'd rather have a Holiday Inn 100 miles away. Glory to God. I mean, don't you know, seriously. But again, the servant is warned, it says. God warns us. God warns us, you know. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Okay? If you sow weeds, then you're going to reap weeds. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. It's just God warns us. He makes it very clear. I'm amazed how many people, you know, they get this idea that well, I'm going to beat the system here. I'm going to beat the world. You aren't going to do it. God warns you about these things. Preventive. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. I might not sin against thee. God, I hide the word of God. Why? Because I don't always have my Bible with me. And because in life I'm going along and all of a sudden I'm tempted to do wrong, but the Word of God's hidden here and God is saying through His Word, don't do that. Don't do that. That's trouble. That's going to get you in trouble. Don't do that. You know, I pray and I beg God for our young people. They come on Wednesday nights and our bus ministry and so many are sitting out here on Wednesday nights and some of these kids, you know, they come and I want them as they're going through the store. They're tempted to take something off the shelves and the Word of God says to them, no, don't do it. Don't do it. See, that's what a blessing that is. I mean, that's like having the preacher with you all the time. Better yet, it's like having Jesus with you all the time. But it'd be like having your parents watching over your shoulder. You're not going to steal anything with your parents. You're not going to do those wicked things with your parents watching. But it's God tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, don't do that. Why? Because I hid the Word of God in my heart. It's preventive. And you know, it's profitable, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. Preventive. And then the last thing, number seven. Oh, let me tell you, it's so good. It's profitable. It is profitable. I said, number one, it is perfect. I said, number two, it is pure. I said, number three, it is preserved. I said, number four, it is permanent. I said, number five, it is precious. I said, number six, it is preventive. Number seven, it is profitable. Notice verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. You know, remember when you found out how to be saved? You found it out from the Word of God. You found it out from God's Word. And you saw that you were a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I heard it over and over again. I heard it as a teenager. And I knew that was about me. I knew that I needed to do something. I knew I was wrong. I knew I sinned. But then you found out that the wages of sin is death, and that because of our sin, there was a place called hell that we would have to go because we came short of the glory of God. And I remember hearing that, and I remember finding out about it, and I remember thinking, I'm lost. But then I found out that Jesus died on the cross to pay for that sin. And I found out, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I found out He gave His Son for me. Well, that's good stuff. And then I found out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't have to take catechism. I didn't have to light candles for a few years. I didn't have to get baptized. I didn't have to join a church. I had to call on Jesus. I found that out from God's Word. Now, if I'd have gone to man, I'd have found out all those other things. I'd have found out I had to rub some beads. I'd have found out I had to do some good works. I'd have found out all kinds of things that man creates. But I went to the Word of God, and someone brought me the Word of God, and I found out that I had to call upon Jesus. And I had to trust Him as my Savior. It's profitable for salvation because I'm going to heaven. Many in this room have trusted Christ as Savior, and you're going to heaven someday. Glory to God. You talk about profitable. Somebody gave you a tract. Somebody brought you to church. You heard preaching. You went to camp meeting. You went to a teen conference. You went to a children's vacation Bible school. Wherever it was, however it was, bless God, you heard the Word of God and you called on Jesus to save you. Oh, let me tell you, that's profitable. And it's going to be even more profitable when you're walking on streets of gold. It's going to be more profitable when the angel takes you up and says, "Here's your mansion." Whoa. Amen. And it's going to be more profitable when you're in heaven with Jesus. But it's not only profitable as far as salvation. I close with this. It's also profitable because we can be a success. I want to be a success right here. Look at Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1:8. Oh, let me tell you, it's profitable because of salvation. But it says in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's what I want. Should be what everybody wants. If we will do what it says there in Joshua 1:8, meditate therein day and night, observe to do according to what is written therein. God says, your way will be prosperous. You'll have good success. You know what I like about testimony time on Wednesday nights especially? I love to hear what God's done. We went through a phase there, a time. We were starting to line everything up. Remember that, Brother Rob? And, of course, you guys messed everything up because you got a house. And it was going to be hard to line that up in the parking lot. It would have messed everything up. But people got cars, people had bills paid, people had, you know, because that's what God does. Amen. He is God. Just stick to the book. Stick to His Word. I'm telling you, the Word of God, it is profitable. He says there's reward. Reward. And a rewarding life is one where you can live your life, and then at the end of it, you hear Jesus say, "Well done. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant." Well done. Let's bow our heads, please.